Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing, now largest segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, and that would be all of them, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you would like to join us in this discussion and presentation, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. I wasn't going to cover the story until I heard that the SRN news spokesperson said that Israelis were shocked. And I don't know how that is possible, that they could be shocked by Islamic behavior. But nonetheless, they are. So let's cover the news. A 26-year-old Israeli woman was stabbed to death. You know, when you are stabbing someone to death you don't know, that requires a special rage, a hellish, demonic rage that is really not prevalent in many people. Now, there are stabbings of in relationships when a love turns to hate. But for the most part, stabbing is just way too personal, too close to the life that you're taking for any sane person to be able to do it. You have to be conditioned to stab someone to death. And yet this Muslim was. It was this particular attack was just hours after another knife attack wounded a Israeli soldier in Tel Aviv, also perpetrated by a mutant Muslim. These latest incident, according to the article, occurred near Alon Shavuot Jewish settlement. The assailant was shot by a security guard. Hopefully, he will die. This is a Palestinian, but we know better, a Muslim from the West Bank city of Nablus, has been arrested in connection with that attack in Tel Aviv. The stabbings come at a time of heightened tension between Israel and the Palestinians, so says the article. No, there's no heightened tension between Israel and Palestinians, first of all. If you were to write this as if they were both nationalities, it would be Israelis and Palestinians. If you want to speak of nations, it would be Israel and Palestine. But unfortunately, they are so confused because I would assume there is no such thing as a Palestinian. There is no such thing as Palestine. There never has been either. It is a complete myth so that they combined people and country in this, Israel being a country, Palestinians being a mythical name for Muslims living in Israel. Moreover, there is no tit-for-tat here. There is no comparative morality. This is not heightened tension. Israelis are not off hunting down and killing Muslims. But Muslims are doing what they do best. Ravaging non-Muslims. At the weekend, the Israeli Arabs, let's just call them Israeli Muslims, threw stones at police in mainly Muslim towns in Israel after police shot dead a young Arab man who had attacked them with a knife. So the Muslims can attack savagely with a knife. The Israelis can respond and try to arrest the murderer. And when the murderer fights back, and as do those surrounding the murderer, and the murderer is shot dead, then it's the Israelis' fault. Only in the twisted mind of Muslims. The attacker tried to run over people in his car. He hit a concrete barrier and then got out of the vehicle. Wanted to kill even more. Then he stabbed the woman along with two other Israelis at a bus stop. The two injured men were taken to the hospital. You know, there's only one solution for Islam. It's not to be shocked by it. It's certainly not to excuse it, as Ben Affleck did. It is to quarantine it. It is to expose it and condemn it based upon its scriptures, based upon its loan, the prophet, based upon its pathetic wannabe God, based upon the Quran and Hadith, which motivate this kind of repulsive behavior. The attacker was shot several times by a security guard and was taken from the scene in serious condition. Hopefully he will die. Early reports said that the woman was a 14-year-old girl. The attack took place close to where three Israeli students were abducted and murdered by Muslim militants in June, an incident which led to the revenge killing in Jerusalem of a Palestinian teenager. That's really not true. The incident led to Hamas, which took credit for the abductions and murders, launching a war against Israel. It was the first salvo in that war. The Palestinian teenager, first of all, there is no Palestinian, but the Muslim teenager who was killed was killed by an insane individual, someone literally who was insane. It wasn't Israel condoning or encouraging revenge. It wasn't Israelis taking revenge. It was one troubled young person. The next news story begins. Iran is failing to answer questions about his nuclear program just weeks before a deadline for a deal with world powers. The Global Nuclear Agency says the IAEA is saying that Iran is no longer willing to be responsive regarding to its agreements to curb uranium enrichment. A confidential IAEA report seen by the BBC says that it has made no progress whatsoever in its investigation into the military dimensions of the Iranian nuclear program. They have been completely stonewalled. All of the negotiations that have been done by the Obama nation over this last year have simply provided smoke cover for Iran to continue to develop nuclear bombs. U.S. Secretary of State John Lurch Kerry is due to meet with his Iranian counterpart in Oman for further talks this weekend, which will be, as the talks always are with these Muslims, a complete and utter waste of time. Moving to the next story, our dateline is Liberia. It has seen a significant reduction in the number of new Ebola cases. Now, if you recall, the World Health Organization, which is a United Nations entity, in concert with the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control, which is a politicized medical facility in the United States, was screaming that the world wasn't providing enough resources, that if the world didn't give them boatloads of money and all sorts of authority, that the calamity of Ebola in Liberia was going to be such that the death toll was no longer going to be in the 5,000 range. No, it wouldn't be 10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000, but instead 1 million. By the end of January, they said. Send us money. You're not giving enough money. Dig deep. Let's send in the American troops. Well, the solution to Ebola is quarantine. Don't touch an Ebola victim. When the Liberians learned that lesson, the infection rate went down. The organization that is communicating this is Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders. And it has plummeted. You know, it's interesting, too, that the Obaminators sending 4,000 American soldiers to Liberia made no difference whatsoever. The existing hospitals in Liberia now are essentially empty. Two-thirds empty in the average case. Two-thirds empty. And the first hospital that America actually built, a 25-bed facility, was dedicated last weekend. There's no one in it. We completely wasted our time. We were, it's kind of like the Kurds screaming Chicken Little and America jumping and bombing and sending ever more troops. When in fact the Zoroastrians really weren't trapped on the mountaintop. The Kurds didn't have to have weapons to liberate the Zoroastrians. America's bombing has made matters worse. Well, that's the same case with Liberian Ebola. America's efforts squandered resources. They exposed people needlessly. The money that was donated was never deployed. The Doctors Without Borders, which employs thousands of staff across West Africa, is seen as the best-informed authority on Ebola, not the World Health Organization, which is part of the United Nations, not the Centers for Disease Control that decided that it would be fun to import Ebola victims into America. Nearly 5,000 people out of 14,000 cases have been killed by the virus thus far. Chris Stokes, the head of the Doctors Without Borders Ebola response team, told the BBC that the disease, in a number of cases throughout Liberia, presented an opportunity for health workers to further review the nature and spread of the disease. But what they have found is that the outbreak has essentially died back down. They're reporting that over two-thirds of the beds in the largest hospitals are now completely empty. The Ebola cases in Liberia are no longer increasing, but are instead decreasing. I don't want to be overly repetitive, but I want to make sure you didn't miss it. You know, America's got 4,000 troops in Liberia. And we've had them there for about 3 weeks now. The first of the hospitals that they built has been dedicated by the government. It was dedicated by President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf on Wednesday of last week. 25 beds. 25 beds. You know, you've got the larger hospitals in Monrovia, 700-bed hospitals. Two-thirds empty. And your contribution is 25 beds? Good grief. Today was a very bad day in Nigeria. At least 46 students were murdered by an Islamic suicide bomber. The school was holding an assembly in northeastern Nigeria. The town was potty scum. The explosion at the boys' school in the town is believed to have been caused by a Muslim dressed as a student, pretending to be a student. There'd be no reason for the Muslim to attend school. They don't have any reason to learn. You know, their goal in life is to die a jihadist, killing others for Allah so that they can enter the Islamic brothel. The militant group, the Islamic group, Boko Haram, is believed to have carried out the attack, of course, because it is standard Islamic behavior to deploy suicide bombers. I mean, think of another religion that has suicide bombers. I can only think of one other in history. And it was a national cause, and only in the brainwashing and indoctrination of the military was it possible. You know, there's a movie out called Zamperini that's, in fact, that's not the name of the movie. I've forgotten the name of the movie, but it is about a individual that was a track star in high school, was an Olympian, winning Olympic medals in track, who then was in a bomber crew in World War II. The airplane was shot down, adrift at sea for a long time, captured by the Japanese, and then taken to a Japanese prisoner of war camp. The movie, when it comes out, and I don't know how accurate it's going to be, but Angelina Jolie is the is producing it, shows the attitude of the Japanese military and the brutality displayed in their prisoner of war camps. That they were animals. You know, the Japanese indoctrinated men with a sense of superiority with their foes, which would be everyone other than the Japanese, with a degraded inferiority that enabled the Japanese soldier to commit the most heinous and ruthless acts without moral conscience. Military indoctrination is a horrible thing. And so I tell you this because the only other suicide bombers that I'm aware of are the Japanese kamikazes, you know, men grotesquely indoctrinated by their military, by patriotism, by the Japanese religion where the emperor is considered a god. And they were willing to sacrifice their lives to take out many lives as an act of war. So it's not exclusive. Suicide bombing is not exclusive to Islam. It is today. It isn't if you go back 70 years to World War II. But it is extraordinarily uncommon. The level of indoctrination, the level of brainwashing, the level of religious corruption that is required to turn a person into a suicide bomber is such that any disease that is able to do that is so deadly, it needs to be quarantined. Now, in the case of the Japanese kamikazes, the only other suicide bombers that we've dealt with in the last, well, probably 10 centuries or more, they were in a military environment, and they took their lives killing others in the military who were devoted to killing them. With the Islamic suicide bomber, that's almost never the case. The Islamic suicide bomber is almost always a civilian and almost always kills other civilians who are not trying to kill them. A very different level of depravity. I recognize that when I say that the only sane, the only moral, the only informed, rational, compassionate response to Islam is to expose it using the Quran and Hadith, using the words and deeds of Muhammad. To condemn it based upon those words and deeds uttered by Muhammad, and the fact that he was a terrorist, a rapist, a pedophile, a mass murderer, a slave trader, a kidnapper, a thief, a liar. And then once you have exposed it, once you have condemned it, to quarantine it, to isolate it. I realize that sounds harsh. I mean, even exposing and condemning a religion sounds harsh to people, even though it is the only moral, only rational, only informed response that makes any sense at all. But quarantine it is the most compassionate thing to do. If you quarantine Islam, then Muslims will be able to kill Muslims, but Muslims will not be able to kill non-Muslims. It won't stop the carnage in Syria. It won't stop the carnage in Iraq. It won't stop the carnage in Yemen. But it will sure as hell stop the carnage in Europe, in the United States. Muslims aren't capable of living with other people, not in peace, not good ones. You have to corrupt the religion to an extent that you are now a complete hypocrite and fraud if you identify yourself with the religion that you have corrupted to be a decent person. So Islam is deadly. It is Islam that murdered these 46 young boys today. It was Islam that mutilated another 79 young boys today. The group is Boko Haram, but the group's name is irrelevant. They are Islamic. Boko Haram targeted the schools because they're teaching something other than Islam. And they sent in a suicide bomber. And I want you just to understand that, I know that it sounds harsh to say that we ought to expose, condemn, and then isolate the religion of Islam, making the religion of Islam illegal. The fact of the matter is that it takes an extraordinarily demonic, dark, deadly and destructive dogma to deceive a young person to the extent that they would strap explosive nails, bolts, rat poison on their bodies, around their bodies, for the express purpose of going into a building filled with young men they have never met. Young men who are wholly and completely unarmed. Young men who are completely innocent of any wrongdoing. And then taking your life in that environment in such a way that you kill 46 young people and mutilate 79 others. And until the world can look at that in the face, eyes open, mind open, until you can look at the death of 46 young boys and the mutilation of 79 more boys, until you can look at that, until you can focus on it and understand what caused it, then you're part of the problem. Unless you are willing to stop Islam, to expose it, to condemn it, to isolate it, to criminalize it, then what you're going to get is more carnage like this. Had others had a backbone, shown some moral compassion, this would not have happened. There are 46 young boys whose lives have been snuffed out in an instant and 79 whose lives will be miserable, who are in excruciating pain now because far too many were unwilling to shed their ignorance, to expose, to condemn, and to quarantine the very disease that caused this carnage. The tolerance of Islam is not without consequence. This is the consequence. Boko Haram continues to wage a sustained campaign to prevent children from going to school. Why? Because if you are educated, you can't be a Muslim. The only way to be a Muslim and to be educated is to be completely ignorant of Islam, which means you're really not educated. So can you be call yourself a Muslim and have a PhD? Sure, so long as you don't know anything about Islam. But the moment your education includes exposure to who Allah is, Satan, wanting to be God, who Muhammad is, the most repulsive man who ever lived, what the Quran is, the worst book ever written. The moment you're exposed to Islam as part of your education, you cannot be an informed and rational Muslim. This was a devastating attack. The explosion ripped through the assembly hall at the Science Secondary School. Police spokesman told the BBC that the attack had left 49 dead at the scene, 79 more wounded, many of which will die. By setting off the bomb during the morning assembly, the Muslims clearly aim to kill and mutilate as many young boys as possible. And they were in science school. You see, you don't want science around Islam. Everything Islam has to say from a scientific perspective is stupid. The Quran's science is so ridiculous, so laughable, that any person who has any education whatsoever in the sciences, reading the Quran, is going to laugh out loud. Muhammad was a nincompoop, and his God was not of any help. Chibok is known in many parts of the world, this is where the attack took place, because of the mass abduction of girls, their kidnap, their rape, their torture, their murder. But there are many other horrific attacks on schools which have received less attention, including February's raid on the Buni Yata school in the Yobe State. Dozens of boys were burnt to death. Many more were mutilated, cut up with knives. The female students were spared, but only so long as they were willing to serve as sex slaves to the jihadist and be raped for the rest of their lives. Boko Haram, of course, only wants people to study the Quran. And if the Quran is studied in isolation, if a person is completely stupid, I guess that book might make sense. If you're deprived of morality, if you're deprived of logic, if you're deprived of history, if you're deprived of science, if you're deprived of reason, sure. If you're a twisted, immoral individual, the Quran is the perfect thing to study. Towns in the Northeast are now so often terrorized, and so many villagers are in the under jihadist control, it's impossible to prevent bombings like the one that occurred today. One student told the BBC that he saw the mutilated bodies of fellow students at the scene. And he reported seeing the parents wailing at the sight of their children's bodies blown to pieces as they were taken to the hospital, and those were the ones that were still clinging to life. Islam did this. Ben Affleck, Islam did this. Muslims living in Europe and America, Islam did this. In Cairo, an Islamic jihadist group called Ansar Beit al-Maqdis, it's an Islamic terrorist organization based in the Sinai Peninsula. It raises money by trafficking in human organs. They take them from the living. They kill the living in the process. Selling body parts is how they fund their purchase of weapons, most of which they buy from Libya, where America, via Qatar, on the insistence of Senator John McClown flooded the country with American weapons. Well, today they pledged their allegiance to the Islamic State. The news that the Islamic State had gained followers in Egypt came amid unconfirmed reports that it may have been dealt a serious blow in its heartland in western Iraq. That's not its heartland. Its heartland is eastern Syria. U.S. officials have not confirmed claims, but Iraqi officials say senior leaders of the group had been killed by its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. I should say, there. This reads, senior leaders of the group have been killed, and its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, may have been seriously wounded by the U.S. airstrikes. So as Boko Haram gains members, it recycles leaders. Now, I don't know if any of that is true. The United States intelligence in this part of the world is slim and none. Slim was a casualty of the last bombing. If it's true, which I would give it 30% odds, that one of America's bombing attacks killed senior leaders of the Islamic State and seriously wounded Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. If it's true, then I will tell you that the activities associated with the Islamic State, the kidnapping of little girls for the purpose of rape, the kidnapping for the purpose of ransom, which is equally as prevalent, the overall slave trade, mass murders where the victim is decapitated and their head put on fence posts and surrounding a community, mass execution, terrorist activity. I'm here to tell you that those behaviors that have become synonymous with the Islamic State, should the leadership of the Islamic State have been dealt a fatal blow in a United States bombing raid, will not change. It won't change at all. So here's the United States. We certainly targeted and may have killed the senior leaders of the Islamic State. And I'm telling you emphatically that it will make absolutely no difference whatsoever. A waste of jet fuel, a waste of bombs, a waste of effort, a waste of breath, a waste of intelligence if that's what was used. Make no difference whatsoever. I mean, think about Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has been nothing for a very long time. Al-Qaeda ceased to be relevant shortly after the first Afghanistan war, the proxy war that the United States launched against the Soviet Union. During that time, as an adjunct to the Taliban, with the receipt of $5 billion worth of American weaponry and money, for a brief time, the Al-Qaeda organization, as an adjunct to the Taliban, became relevant. Shortly thereafter, they became irrelevant. They were driven out of their caves in Afghanistan, holed up in Pakistan, and at that point, the Taliban continued to be relevant, but Al-Qaeda, which never controlled any territory, which never had large caches of weapons, which never had significant numbers of people, which never had its own ideology. Because it did not hold territory, because it did not have significant numbers of people, because it did not hold weapons, it quickly became irrelevant and has been irrelevant. And the United States has killed virtually all of the leadership of Al-Qaeda, including the person with whom America negotiated initially in the first Afghan war. And yet the United States continues to credit al-Qaeda with all manner of evil. Every time there's an Islamic terrorist attack, somebody equates the group to, links the group to al-Qaeda, an al-Qaeda linked group. And yet, there's only one person left in al-Qaeda, and he's a physician. I'm not sure he's ever picked up a gun, at least not to shoot it. And just shows you that you can mutilate every leader in an organization, and if the organization is religious in nature, by doing so, you'll make no difference in its behavior, and the religion will simply recycle leaders, and that's what will happen in the Islamic State. You see, the Islamic State actually became meaningful when it was co-opted by the Awakening Program, Petraeus's and George Bush's surge program that America used to provide weaponry and money and prestige to the Sunni tribal leaders that had been high ups in the Saddam Hussein military, in his economy, in his government. And when they took over control of the Islamic State, it became meaningful. They put together armies. They learned how to use weapons in a coordinated fashion. They sought to control territory and have done so.